3, 2, 1. From Rapid City, South Dakota, we go behind the scenes of South Dakota Mines Athletics with interviews and exclusive access. This is Hard Rocker All Access.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. This is our second episode of the Coach's Corner. My first guest today is director of track and field cross country, Joe Stevens. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Just kind of getting started, you're about two races into your cross country season so far. Talk a little bit about, I guess, first about Wyoming, what you were pleased with, maybe what you still can see some improvements on.
It was our first year going to the University of Wyoming. It's a small meet, and there's 8-9 teams on each side, but over half of those are Division One, so it's, we wanted to layer in some culture pieces, high expectations, getting School of Mines kids used to competing at a level that's above and beyond the D2 level, getting a comfortability with that. And that's something that we did walk away with. We have that experience now. I thought our men's team performed very well. We almost got the win against Texas Tech, and that was, I won't say unexpected, but if we would have knocked them off, then that would have been better than anticipated. I did think we could beat the University of Northern Colorado, and we did get them. We also got the Division II teams that were in the race as well, so we were the top D2 team and got a D1 team out of it. And we had some guys that were competing up there with the varsity kids from Colorado State and Wyoming, and that's, you know, you're doing some right things as a D2 program when your top couple guys can mix it up with scorers on another, you know, at a higher level. And the gal side, we ran a little bit more individualistic than I would prefer. That's something we corrected when we went to Black Hills State, and I think we saw the results there really well. But Claire was our top runner, and she did the same thing that Tyler did on the men's side. She was duking it out with some really good girls and beating some really good girls. But the thing to grow on the gals side from Wyoming that we really took away from that was, number one, we can compete well within a meet of that caliber. So I think we took confidence from it, but we also took some process pieces. Like, we need to run and compete as a team, not just as a group of individuals.
Just following up on something you said, that must be like a pretty good, you know, early step in kind of a rebuilding process to have your top couple runners be able to compete with some D1 athletes.
You know, there's always been a few individuals over the years here that have been able to do that. It's definitely not just in my year and a half. We've had individuals go to nationals in track and field and win conference titles in cross country. And so it's an area of, I think that I don't really know if that's new here for us. I would say it's something that I want to maintain. You have to have a couple low sticks, as we call them, you know, because low score wins in cross country. They add up the top five runners, gives a score. Obviously, if you're a worse team, you have a higher score. So you've got to have a couple low sticks. And School of Mines has done a very nice job of having those key individuals in the past. And I want to maintain that, but what I think we're doing differently is being able to really recruit well and build that roster. And men are sitting at 28, and last year we were at 13. So, you know, you over double your men's roster, and that just means that you can account for those injuries that come about and those fatigue points, and kid get a little dinged up, well, you're still going to do just as well. So,
sure. And then obviously two weekends ago now, you went to Black Hills State. You really saw some good team results. Women picked up the win. Men picked up second place, correct?
Yes.
What do you have, you know, how important is that to be able to see those kind of results, especially the growth from Wyoming to Black Hills State?
Well, the highlight there was the women. I think in one sense, it's because we did win. And I don't know, it's been a number of years since we beat Black Hills. And a few years ago, the women won the meet down at Chatham State, I believe. And so it just hasn't been a commonality, right? It hasn't been something that we've been used to. And the greater win there was a process piece, was a culture piece, something where I told the gals in our team meeting on Thursday before that meet that I wanted us to do, quote unquote, a full send. I just want us to go be competitive, race very aggressive, throw caution to the wind, trust our fitness, trust our teammates, trust the race plan that we had, which was to be more aggressive than normal, and trust that our fitness was there to hold on to that intensity through the entire competition. And one short team meeting and then one short team huddle before they started their warm-up 1 hour before the race is all it took, and those gals embraced it, listened, and executed like nearly flawlessly. I'd say there's a couple small areas we could work on, as always there's going to be, but that was the greater win for me, because if you can have a team that trusts the process, the coach trusts the athletes and vice versa, and the system is working to create wins and results, then that's a repeatable process to equal more success. Everybody loves winning, but you know, you love beating your rival at Black Hills, but I want to repeat that. I want to be in the running to do that every year. And so it was neat to see those culture pieces in place. And on the men's side, we ran a little different strategy than Wyoming. We went after it and were as competitive as we possibly could. This time we did hold out a couple of our top guys because they were a little bit tired, and we had a little bit of a sickness running through the team. And so we decided to just play it safe and make sure those kids were healthy for University of Minnesota. And because we knew we weren't going to have a full squad there, I think we only ran maybe 24 guys, 25 guys, that we said we're going to tempo the first 3K and just run that one at a medium hard effort. And then we're going to crush the last 3K. And we nearly won. Like, we didn't even put our best foot forward from a racing strategy standpoint to try to win because of the training considerations and team limitations that we had, and we almost won. So it good news is we're healthy now, and we're in a good spot for Minnesota this weekend.
Yeah, a couple times you've mentioned kind of the culture piece, and I'm hijacking this a little bit, but, you know, RMAC is obviously a very difficult conference, especially when it comes to cross country. I think several of the more recent national champions have come from this conference. Where do you feel like you're at in just the growth process to getting eventually to that level?
I would say in a general sense, I'm extremely excited about the multi-tiered process pieces that are starting to occur. You know, we're in phase one here, which develop a culture where you expect to win, you expect to do well, you compete well when it matters. You've got those big competitions. Are you doing your very best? Are you putting your best foot forward when it's the most important competitions of the year? And cross country is a team sport, but also an individual sport. And the way the NCAA lines it out, you could lose your first couple of meets, and then when you reach the third or fourth week, it varies year to year, of September, those meets start to count in your rankings, your national rankings, conference region, your likelihood of making it to the national championships, getting an at-large bid. So it's really how we race going forward. I thought last year we were 50-50 on that front. I thought there was times we raced well and times that we definitely dropped the ball. We've worked on that through the off season, added in some recruits that are used to winning. I think that's a big piece, is we brought in kids that from their high school PRs would break our school records here. And when you do that, that kid's used to being very, very good. We have the 3,200 meter runner up from the state of Missouri, you know, big class schools. And he was a 918, 3,200 meter guy. I mean, that's a Division I recruit that I would have given a scholarship when I was at CSU or Wyoming. And that's awesome to see that kind of mentality. It's a chip on your shoulder, like in a good, healthy way that you have in the program. These guys are walking around and they don't like losing. So all of these pieces, the recruiting piece, we're keeping the team healthy, we're training 20% more intensity and volume than we were in the previous year. These are foundational pieces. We won't fully reach it this year. I would say we're probably 2 to 3 years out from being the team where Not saying we can't go to the national championships this year or next year, but the foundational pieces are there for a consistency at that level down the road, and that's what I'm aiming for. I don't want a quick victory. I would like to be good for a long time.
Thank you for that. That hijacked us a little bit, but getting back kind of on track a little bit. Cross country is a little bit different, where you kind of, since it's a distance running sport, you don't want to fatigue your athletes early, right? You want to get them to where they're at peak performance for your conference championship and then for your regional championship. How do you manage that as a coach?
You know, it's a unique sport. I like athletes as much as I like pure distance runners. When I recruit, I like a good mix of those that have played football and basketball and soccer, and they were three or four sport athletes, and then they also ran distance. Usually those individuals can be very good if you develop them slowly. The feedback that I get from the kids that join my teams that have just been distance runners versus the ones that have primarily been multi-sport athletes is, wow, now that they're individualizing as a long distance runner, it seems to be a lot harder than they anticipated in the energy management through the course of a 12-year training cycle. And they never really get a break. It's you have to really pay attention to your sleep and your nutrition and getting into the athletic training room and, you know, getting blood tested, because anemia and iron deficiency is, most studies show it's about 40% of collegiate distance runners have that, even if they don't know they have it. So there's so many little pieces that you have to keep up on in that overload. Track and field and cross country is strength and conditioning. There's very little skill in the sport. You don't recruit or you don't coach based on a skill set, which is a lot of other sports. It's fitness. It's pure fitness. And fitness only comes about by maintaining a volume of work, whether it's in the weight room or running or whatever kind of training you're talking about. You have to maintain that consistently throughout the course of a 12-month period. And so it's a learning adjustment for a lot of kids. Fortunately, I'm going into about year 18, being a coach in college at different levels, and I don't really see too many new things now. I can anticipate problems, layer in programming pieces and practice plan pieces so that kids don't hit that wall. You know, we were very blessed last year not have one single injury that ended a season. So other than the normal shin splints and a few small issues. So that's about as good as you can ask for. I think I'm pretty good at that. I think it is one of my skills. You have to be patient, and I think our team is learning to be patient, and there's a lot of wisdom in that process, and one step at a time.
Sure. Now, upcoming this weekend, you have the Roy Griak up in Minnesota. That's a bigger meet. What are you kind of expecting and hoping for?
Well, last year, from memory, we were 11th on the men's side, I believe, and 13th on the women's, if I'm remembering correctly. We were a little bit disappointed last year. It wasn't a bad race for our men, but we were expecting more. The intensity of the competition got to us last year. We folded under the pressure and got lost in the 500-person race, and it's easy to do, be overwhelmed. That's one of the reasons we had the schedule we did this year, was to accelerate our learning process so we're not shocked when we face tough opponents. You know, our women ran well last year for who we were last year. I thought 13th was good. You know, this year we'd like to be top 10 on both sides. I would say that top 5 is a goal for our men if we have a great day. If we're top 5, then I won't say we're better than what I anticipated, but I would say we maximized what we're capable of. That was a perfect day for us if we're top 5. But I believe in reachable goals and being consistently good before you talk about being great. And so I'd like us to be both in the top 10 there in that invitational. And if we're doing that, then we're doing our job for being where we want to be at the end of the year.
Sure. And is this kind of the weekend where you start to ramp up and kind of get ready for, you know, conference championships and regional championships?
Yeah, I mean, the meets matter more in the sense that they're not just a learning process or a competitive opportunity. They count in your rankings. They count in the points that you get either counted against you or for you for getting an at-large bid for the national meet. So from that standpoint, it's a big meet. It's an important meet. Every meet going forward kind of represents that. So you want to beat who you need to beat. Those average opponents, those solid opponents, those opponents at your level, those are the ones you want to make sure you're beating. As that's a big program step for us, is just when we step on the line and the meet matters, we want to perform at our very best. If you get knocked off by the defending national champion or a team that has three All-Americans on it, that's an expected loss. It's not a loss you just want to lie down and take. You want to say, hey, we're working to be that good, but you definitely want to go into this competition beating the teams that you're supposed to beat. That's incredibly important for setting yourself up for confidence when you get to the meets that really matter, like conference and regionals.
Just last question. For people who are not familiar with cross country, can you explain how the scoring works?
So within a meet, unless there's a tie, you have five runners on each team that will score points. And if your runners finished 5th, 10th, 15th, 20th, 25th, and you just add all of that up, that gives you a score. And then another team, perhaps their runners finished 1, 2, 3, and then they fell off and had two runners finished in 78th and 79th. Okay, you add all that up. Well, that team had three front runners that swept the race. They dominated it. Everyone would say, like, oh, that's the best team, but they had two poor competitors or poor showings, and so your team that had a solid showing for the cumulative of five actually has a lower score. So low score wins. That's why it is a team sport. Every individual has to perform, but I like cross country, as differentiates it from track and field, which can feel very individualistic. I love the team aspect of cross. And as far as qualifying for the national championships, you've got a couple of automatic qualifiers from your region that automatically go. If you're top two, top three in the region, you're going to go to the national meet automatically. That's how that's scored. And then every other team that makes it to nationals is an at-large selection committee, a coaches selection committee, administrator selection committee. And that's based on your wins and losses in the year. You know, if you lost to, for example, Minot State, and maybe Minot State had a bad year and they weren't a good team, but they just happened to knock you off, well, you have a loss against your resume. You lost to a team you shouldn't have lost to. If you go into the end of the year and you've beat who you need to beat, you stand a really good chance of getting an at-large bid.
All right, thank you so much for joining me today, Joel. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks a lot.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburgert. I'm here with head women's volleyball coach, Lauren Prohaska. Thanks for joining me today, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just kind of getting started. Talk about, you know, the first two tournaments. You obviously started out really well. You went 6-2. What was it like to get, you know, especially with such a young team, to get off to that start?
Yeah, I think that we did some good stuff. I think we were really just working on building consistency with our play, and we did a little bit of that throughout those eight matches, I guess. So, yeah, I think we had a lot of learning experiences and really just got our confidence up. You know, what I liked seeing in those eight matches was that our confidence was already pretty high to begin with. So that was really exciting for such a young group, that they really believed in themselves and the process. But yeah, I mean, preseason's always kind of a, you know, you never know really what is going to happen. And it's, you don't know what the teams are like or who they've brought in or who they've lost. And it's always a mystery. So for us to just kind of be worried about only ourselves, which is what I wanted us to focus on, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Obviously you kind of had some pieces coming back that you kind of knew what you had.
Correct.
Kylie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannah Bennis has been really impressive so far. She's really taken a leap from her freshman year to her sophomore year.
Sure. Yeah, Hannah has done exactly what we knew she was going to do. You know, we recruited Hannah to replace Anna, and she knew that, and Anna knew that, and she knew the shoes she had to fill, because Anna was such a consistent libero, you know, was very good at her job and just did what she needed to do to be as consistent as possible. it was really fun Hannah's freshman year to kind of like mentor her through Anna's process and watch her grow under Anna and just understand this is what is required. Now, they are two completely different players. They lead differently. They communicate differently. They play differently. But we really loved watching Hannah grow in that year, knowing like this is where Hannah's going to be, you know. So our coaches for sure just had high expectations, but so confident in who Hannah is as an athlete and as a leader. And she's done a phenomenal job the first 3 weeks we've had now. And yeah, it's really fun to watch her just grow into that position. And just for me as her coach, know that I can trust her no matter what, you know. I don't worry about that half of the court anytime she's on the floor at all. It's just full trust in her ability to do her job.
Yeah, and she's been a weapon at the back line too, serving even from basically the beginning of her freshman year, which is not necessarily something that had a lot of.
Her serving's been a lot more consistent this year, and she's so much more mentally tough about it. She really just understands that when she gets back there, she's got to score versus I got to survive, you know? And yeah, I'm so impressed with her ability to make runs happen and just do it for the team, because a lot of the time she gets back there mid-set, you know, like 12-12, 13-13, whatever it is, and she puts us in a run that really gives us in a position to take off in that set. So yeah, her serve is great, and it's, you know, she practices really hard and she's always trying to get better, and but I think it's her mental toughness that has brought her to a really high serving level.
Sure. Another one that's kind of made a big leap is Kira Walsh. Last year she obviously didn't get a ton of court time with Jason Coakley in the middle, but she's especially in the last few matches, she's really stepped up and been able to be a force on the defensive side of the net.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have right now five really good middles, like really good middles that just battle all week long. Kira just continues to be constant, and she's very low error, and she really does a good job at finding ways to score. So yeah, she's, I mean, you know, losing two fantastic middles in Deja and JC was tough, but we were very confident in our recruiting and the athletes that we had, that we knew, okay, we're not going to be getting the same scoring production out of the middles right away, but we are going to be getting a lot more consistency with just the level we have. But Kira has been great. It's so much fun to watch her grow as a person, because she's so tough and she's so competitive, and at times it has gotten the best of her, but she's, every match she plays, she stays more and more emotionally balanced, which is so impressive, because it takes a lot of maturity and self-awareness to just, you know, breathe and realize like, I got this. And that's what she does. Like every match, she's so confident in her ability to do her job, and she does her job well. So yeah, it's been fun to watch her grow in that process, but also just, yeah, she's a consistent middle and we love having her on the floor.
Yeah, and then on the outside spots, you pretty much lost basically all your main outsides from last year.
Sure.
You brought in Jenna Curtis, you brought in Ollie Mione,
Yep.
And obviously Paisley Gibson's returning. How important have especially Jenna and Ollie been?
Yeah, Jenna is, she's one of those that you don't worry about a whole lot as a coach, you know. She's so balanced in her approach to the game, and she takes feedback so well. You know, sometimes I have to really do a better job as her coach to remind, like, to coach her a little bit more, because a lot of the times I'm like, she's got it, and I'm like, no, I really gotta coach her up. But she's incredibly confident, she's very steady, and I think she plays at a really high level, and it's fun to watch someone like that come in who still has a lot of room to go. Like, she still obviously has a big ceiling and has a lot of potential, but she is coming off of a 2 years where she had a huge impact physically and was doing it for a team that was incredibly successful. So she has that experience and understands what is needed of her. She's just doing it in a different capacity now. And I think, you know, she's putting a lot of pressure on herself, but as she should, it's a privilege for her to have that kind of pressure, and she's handling it really well. Ollie has been unbelievable for us on the right side. You know, we have two ridiculous lefty right sides in our gym with her and Morgan. Like, her and Morgan on certain days, I'm just like, I'm just so lucky to have the two of them on one team. I can't believe that we're in this position because they just destroy our team on a daily basis in practice. But Ollie has just been so consistent. You know, it was funny that this weekend when we were playing Regis, she hit this ball out of bounds, you know, which volleyball players do, right? And I just, when she came off the bench, I said, I think that's the first time in 3 months that I've seen you hit a ball out of bounds. Like, I don't think I ever have seen you do that. And that's just who she is. She knows how to score. She knows where to put the ball, and she doesn't make mistakes. So it's really fun to watch her continue to play at that level and for our team to just sort of believe in her so much, because when you have consistent athletes like that, that's what they do. They believe. And we really trust her to get the job done. And when things get tough, we're going to go find her. And that's the role she's really built in. But Morgan is like not even one step behind her, maybe a half step. It's just the growth that those two have had has been really great. So having them in our gym has been awesome because the level has been huge. And then behind Jenna, obviously, with Paisley is neck and neck with her. Paisley continues to do what she does really well, which is find a way to score and use the block really well. And then we have three other outsides in our gym. Ava Sparks as a sophomore, who is so talented and does things so well and is such a different outside than Jenna and Paisley, which is so important for us to have that different look. She's such a great blocker and she's such a heavy arm. She gets better every day. And then we have two freshmen, Joy and Ivy, who again make me wonder every day how we got so lucky to have five great outsides, because Ivy and Joy are so talented as freshmen. They hit so high. It's such a different level. The ceiling for them is just massive. And, you know, Joy does things in practice that I've never seen any of our pins do and our team has never seen. So we have to adjust to those things. And Ivy is just so used to being dominant and brings that behavior to practice, which that's the only way we're going to get better, is if our athletes bring that confidence and that dominance and the ability to terminate. So yeah, I mean, we can talk about Jenna and Paisley and Ollie, and yeah, they're fantastic and they are great, and there's a reason that they are on the floor right now as starters. But I think the most impressive thing is the people that we have behind them and what they're bringing to us in the gym every day.
Just being able to push the people in front of them.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just think the level on our gym is so high, and that's, for me in this program, that's not something we have had in the past. It's just like the all-around talent is amazing, and it makes my job really hard, but I'd prefer it that way.
Yeah, sure. You mentioned the talent level increasing, but how much of, I mean, I guess early season getting into RMAC play, it's different, right? RMAC play is just kind of different.
Yeah.
How much do you think is just them learning, you know, that level of play and being able to come together as a team?
Yeah, I mean, RMAC play is different. I mean, the RMAC is incredibly competitive, and depending on how your preseason schedule is, you're either ready for that or not. And I think we had a little bit of both, for sure. I think also our team is not, you know, themselves in terms of like their own leadership and their own mindset is putting a lot of pressure on themselves to be really successful. And that's a good thing. You want them to have high standards and high expectations. I think also with the RMAC schedule this year, being that the only way you get ranked is based on one match per RMAC opponent. So you don't get to do it again. And then that's a lot of pressure, but it's us being able to wrap our minds around that and give our best to RMAC opponents. So it's, for me, it's different because I'm coaching them in a different way when it comes to RMAC teams, because yeah, we only do get one opportunity to win. And for them, it's like the upperclassmen relearning that process because it's new for them. And then the freshmen, like getting them to understand we got one shot and we got to go make the best of it every Friday and Saturday. So it's fun. I mean, RMAC play is so fun, and we love to compete. But yeah, we have to really learn how to bring our best consistently. And that takes time with a young team, for sure.
And it, I mean, it's a very young team. You only have one senior, and even she has another year of eligibility.
Yeah,
so
for
how
sure.
much is it? Like, how exciting is that to look at as a coach when you're looking through your roster?
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, like I told you, the people that we have not on the court, quote unquote, you know, starting, I mean, they could start any day. And then I just feel so confident in their ability to do that. So, yeah, knowing we get them back, knowing we get Kylie back is just, yeah, how lucky are we? It's the leadership has been so great. You know, Kylie has been through it all, and for her to just like continue to lead her team in such a positive and tough way, our team needs that, you know. And Hannah, as a leader, even though she's a sophomore, Hannah is so tough and so to the point. Like, she just really doesn't take any crap. She just wants to get it done at a really high level, and her team follows her. You know, she really knows how to get people to follow her. So, but at the same time, she also follows really well, you know, and her team wants to go somewhere, she goes with them. And I think that's just who Hannah is. So between Hannah and Kylie, the two of them balance each other out so well, and they've led our team to a really, really tough level where we get the job done, we do what needs to be done, we don't complain, you know, we don't take anything for granted. We're very, you know, we do the dirty work. We're not afraid of doing it. So yeah, without the two of them, I don't think we would be where we are right now with such a young team, because you got to have solid team leadership to lead young kids for sure.
First two matches last weekend, obviously they didn't go the way you hoped.
But, yeah.
I mean, the team battled. Especially, sure. You know, Regis, UCCS, both. I mean, every set was close, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. On Thursday against UCCS, I wouldn't really say we battled. I honestly think we showed up, and that's about the most we did. And they know that. But, you know, you have to have those moments. You don't want to have a lot of them. But I look at it as a really great opportunity for us to learn from and understand that, okay, even if we come out first set and it's like everything that could go wrong does go wrong, you have to bounce back. You have to be resilient and find a way to do something else. The serving game and passing game for us was so off, which is not like us. We are a very good serving team, and our passing is very good. So as soon as that feels disconnected, it's like everything else goes away. And that's how it felt Thursday night. And we can't do that. You know, we have to be able to take a mediocre pass and turn it into a point. And that's, our hitters can do that. Our setter can do that because they're just that good, but we weren't putting those things together. And it was a little bit of a panic per se, but again, we had to get that out early. And now I know how to coach my team through those moments. So at least we're there. And then, you know, playing Regis is, in my opinion, is as good as I've ever seen them. You know, they haven't graduated anybody from last year. They got a ton of graduate students on their team, which means they're just full of experience and knowledge and, you know, talent, but no excuses. Like, I really loved a lot of the stuff we brought out against Regis. I thought there was a lot of spurts of greatness, and I told them, I said, you know, if we did anything like this on against UCCS, it would have been a whole different match. And again, that's just learning opportunities. You can't get it back. We don't get to go play UCCS again. So there it is. We have to learn from that and find a way to come into matches and understand in volleyball, it may go your way, it might not, but how do you manipulate it to go your way? And we have to really find a way to do that and lean on those with experiences like Kylie and Hannah and like Jenna, like the kids that have done it, and follow their lead through those things.
Sure. Coming up this week, you're finally at home.
Yeah.
Been 3 weeks. Friday's Adams State.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday's CSU Pueblo. What have you kind of seen from those two teams so far?
Yeah, I mean, just like always, you just don't know what to expect from anybody. I think Adams is similar to what they've been, which is very tough. They're always a very tough team to play. They're always pretty good defensively, and they have some really nice pieces offensively. They have a new coach, which, you know, anytime you have a new coach to a mix, that means there's a different level of culture that could really just be not something you don't expect. And then, you know, Pueblo is always going to be tough, and that's kind of in their DNA. And then for us, it's about really putting on a great offensive showing, because when our offense is clicking, then I think we can really beat the best of them. So yeah, exciting to be home, really more so focusing on the fact that we need consistent practices this week and tough practices to get us into that level. And again, with the learning that we had this past weekend, I really am confident in our team's ability to understand what is needed from us Monday through Thursday this week to get put in that work to get to the point where we can beat Adams and Pueblo.
What do you think you have to do, you know, what are you taking from last weekend and trying to get a couple?
Yeah, we need to serve incredibly tough. That is something that when we do, we are very tough to beat. we need to do that with a lot of confidence and a lot of fearlessness, I guess. So that's something that we need to focus on, is serving without fear, serving to score. We need to focus on finding other ways to score offensively, because the way that we feel good about, you know, that we can get away with 80% of the time isn't going to work 100% of the time. And we have to be able to adapt. For me, as their coach, I'm just trying to get us to really determine what Hard Rocker Volleyball looks like and play that every week. And it's not about reacting to other opponents. It's about what is the game we're going to bring every week. Like, what does that look like? And what does that need to be for us to beat a lot of teams? So really just continuing to determine our identity. And I think part of our identity right now that we've determined is we're a really, really tough serving team. We're a very tough passing team. I think we're a really good blocking team. So there's so many pieces that we have established as our identity, but yeah, offensively, we got to get those pieces moving. And a lot of that obviously falls on Kylie's shoulders, which she's been in that boat for almost 4 years. She knows what it feels like to have the weight of the team on her shoulders. And I wouldn't want to have anyone else in that position. So you know, we're all behind her, and I believe in Kylie every second of the day. I want her to be confident and happy and know that she really is one of the best setters in the game and she can get it done. And so I think a lot of it for the week too is building her up and getting her mentally and physically ready to do what she does so well, which is run a very, very tough offense.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lauren.
Thank you.
Obviously, good luck this weekend.
Yeah,
7
thanks.
7 o'clock Friday night, 3
yep.
o'clock Saturday.
Yep.
See everybody at the King Center.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the second episode of the Coach's Corner. Thank you to our guests today, head volleyball coach Lauren Prohaska and director of cross country and track and field Joe Stevens. Until next week, my name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert, signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.